Hey, this is the Haunted Haze Christmas special, and I'm Josh.
I'm Kristen.
And we have a special guest again.
Maddie.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yes, I'm so excited. I love Christmas. Even though this year we've been kind of making Christmas creepy.
Yeah, we went to a haunted Christmas.
Haunted house.
Haunted house, yeah.
And Josh has been looking up every single Christmas horror movie he can find.
Yeah, Santa Slays, Krampus.
Yeah.
I love all of them.
So, no sweet Christmas movies here.
Yeah.
It's
we haven't watched anything jolly
scary
yet.
Scary movies and Die Hard.
Yeah. And Gremlins.
Oh, yeah, we did watch Gremlins, which I can get behind. But hey, also, before we get started, I just want to let you know if you got some last-minute Christmas shopping to do, check us out at Hippie Haze Studios at Etsy, Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah, we're a unique, one-of-a-kind arts and gifts. Check us out.
Yeah, for sure. Get that person who has everything a stash box.
Yeah.
Or a tie-dye t-shirt.
Or a painting.
Yeah. Honestly, you think it, we can do it.
Yeah, check us out.
Also, check out our good friends at Griffith Roasting Company. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, they make awesome coffee.
Yeah.
The coffee choice for the people on Elm Street is what I like to say.
Yeah. Please check them out. They are good friends. And like we said, they have awesome coffee.
Also, you can always reach us at hauntedhazepodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, send us your creepy stories. Send us what you think of verses.
Yeah, anything that you got. Also, please review us. We appreciate all the reviews and all the listens that we've had this year. This is actually going to be the last episode of the year, so
I know.
We hope everyone has a good holiday and a festive time.
And we're going to come back in 2021.
But we're going to try to creep you out for this episode, though. We got a couple of Not so jolly Christmas characters that we want to talk about. Even some kind of creepy origins of Christmas, I guess you could say.
Yeah, we got a little bit of a mixture in here.
Well, I got 9 creepy Christmas characters that I'd like to go over.
All right,
so the first one is Krampus, right? Everybody knows Krampus. Well, I guess not everybody.
I feel like, yeah, not everybody.
In the past few years, Krampus has gotten pretty popular, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they've done some movies and stuff.
Well, a little bit about Krampus. The word Krampus means claw. A certain Alpine villages have big parties featuring a scary clawed incubus who hangs around with Santa Claus. The Krampus costume also includes sheepskin, horns, and a switch that the incubus uses to swat children and unsuspecting young ladies. The Krampus's job is to punish those who have been bad, while Santa rewards the people on his nice list. Although the exact roots of Krampus aren't known, anthropologists generally agree that the legend probably derives from some sort of early horned god who was then assimilated into the Christian devil figure. During the 15th and 16th centuries, masked devils began appearing in church plays during traditional winter celebrations. These events, which often had some fairly comedic and ludicrous elements to them, became part of the pre-Christmas fun that takes place each year. Yes.
They should tell kids that instead of getting coal from Santa.
Well, in Germany and stuff, that is what they do. Like, you know, in Europe, Krampus is way more prevalent.
Oh, okay. So over here, we're just telling kids about coal, not about the creepy
we're
monster.
Not telling about creepy Krampus. Yeah. American kids can't handle it.
No.
Well, here's some other ones that you probably haven't heard of. At least I've never heard of. The next one is called Frau Perchetta. Eastern European children are familiar with the legend of Frau Perchetta or Perchetta. If you are a well-behaved child, you had nothing to fear. Perchetta will slip into your home on the night of the Feast of the Epiphany and leave a silver coin in your shoe. But if you'd been bad, watch out. Frau Perchetta treats naughty children mercilessly. She sliced open their stomachs, removed their internal organs, and replaced them with pebbles and straw. The name Perchetta comes from the same roots as Birchentag, the Feast of the Epiphany, which is when she makes her annual appearance. Jacob Grimm associated her with the goddess Hulda, who is believed to have evolved into Frau Holly. Perchetta appears in different ways, but typically she is portrayed as either young and beautiful, dressed in snowy white, or as an old and malevolent hag. Some legends claim she has one foot that is significantly larger than the other, and Grimm believed this was symbolic of her being a shapeshifter. Mm-hmm. Frau Perchetta is often viewed as a female counterpart to Krampus and is the focus of big festivals in some Alpine villages. Participants wear masks called Perchetten and dance around fires to drive away scary winter ghosts. Today, Frau Perchetta is known as being who rewards the good and kind, but those who lie or steal or are lazy and wicked will find themselves recipients of her punishment. So that's kind of like the female Krampus.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, she's scary.
She's pretty intense. Like, how naughty are these children?
Yeah, you gotta cut
to
them
deserve
open?
That.
Yeah,
right? Like, that's like real bad kid shit.
All right, the next one, Grilla and the Yule Lads. If you're a child living in Iceland, you've probably been warned about the legend of Grilla. This giantess who lives in the mountains comes out of her cave in the wintertime searching for naughty kids. When she finds them, she boils them up in a stew and devours them as a tasty snack. Grilla is the mother of 13 Yule Lads who visit sleeping children on 13 nights before Christmas. In some legends, the lads, who have creepy names like Meat Hook and Window Peeper, are just as awful as their mother and eat children too.
Meat Hook and Window Peeper.
Yeah. What an awful name. Grilla appears for the first time in Snorri Sturluson's Prose Edda, but she didn't become associated with the Christmas season until around the 17th century. By that time, kids were so terrified by the idea of Grilla that the Icelandic government had to step in and ban the use of her legend as a parenting technique. Instead, she was rebranded and presented in a way that has her spreading holiday cheer. As to the Yule Lads, now they just leave a rotten potato if you've been misbehaving. So those kids had like a breakdown. They couldn't handle it.
Yeah, that's how the American kids would be if Krampus came.
Yeah, for sure. Would you be? Are you afraid of Krampus, Maddie?
Yeah, he's
creepy,
intense.
Right?
Yeah,
he's pretty intense.
I don't want him to eat me.
The next one, Pierre Fourtourne. Imagine if Santa Claus had a sidekick who traveled around with him beating those who had misbehaved. Okay, I'm in. Well, in France, St. Nicholas has La Pierre Fourtourne, whose name literally translates to Father Whipper. Sure enough, Fourtourne roams around northern France and parts of Belgium, whip in hand to give a few lashes to kids who can't get their act together. The legend of Pierre Fourtourne dates back to at least the 12th century. It's a tale about an innkeeper, or possibly a butcher, depending on which version of the tale you're reading, who murders and robs three boys on their way to a religious order. After killing them and stealing their money, the innkeeper and his wife chop the boys up into bits and make a stew out of them to hide the evidence of the crime. When St. Nicholas figures out what has happened, he resurrects the boys, and the innkeeper, whose name is Fourtourne, repents for his sins. As atonement, he accompanies St. Nicholas on his journey each year on December 6th. Fourtourne usually is portrayed as a fairly dark and sinister in appearance, which is no surprise. Unkempt and ragged with a long beard, he carries a whip or a switch to flog naughty kids. These all really pretty much sound like just offshoots of Krampus.
And
Krampus is like the Bigfoot.
And I'm surprised that all these, like, we in America first don't even have, we just skip that tradition altogether.
We only have Santa Claus.
And that we aren't even taught any, like, you know, we think we're only taught Santa goes around the entire world.
Yeah.
Our Santa.
Yeah.
But we don't even talk about how he has sidekicks in some places.
Oh, that's true.
We're not even taught that.
Yeah. Well, we're taught Elf on the Shelf, which is also a creepy little bastard, so...
True that.
We have that.
Yeah.
All right, my next one. Necht Repret. And please forgive me for these,
Pronunciations.
These, not easy to pronounce. Necht Repret, or Rupert the Servant, see, that's much easier, is another companion of St. Nicholas. Familiar to German kids, appearing in a long black or brown robe and carrying a stick and a bag of ashes, Ruprecht's job is to ask children if they pray. If the answer is the affirmative, he rewards them with gingerbread, chocolate, fruit, and nuts. Guess what happens to kids who don't pray?
They get murdered.
Freck whacks them with a stick or sack of ashes.
Oh my God.
The tales of Nek Reprecht go back as far as the Middle Ages, and he's often associated with another German folkloric character, Black Peter. Jacob Grimm believed that, like Black Peter, Reprecht is a holdover from pre-Christian pagan beliefs. Grimm suggested that lore about beings such as these, as well as elves and household spirits who punish unacceptable behavior, was a way of maintaining the social order.
Hmm.
All right, the next one. Mary Laud. In some parts of Wales, the custom of Mary Laud is first documented around 1800, but may be far older than that. Much like the Beltane hobby horse, the Mary Laud originally consisted of a horse's skull mounted on a stick and decorated with ribbons. In later years, the skull was made of wood or heavy paperboard. Although scholars differ on the origins of the tradition, one consistent feature is that Mary Laud is associated with the practice of waysailing. Between Christmas and New Year's, the Mary Laud is carried through the village by a group of men who knock on doors, singing and making merry. When the inhabitants answer, they are invited to engage in a battle of wits called Pwanco, exchanging rhyming insults. It's a bit like Welsh rap battle. At the end, the Mary Laud and her carriers are invited inside for refreshments, and her presence in your house is said to bring you good luck for the coming year. So that was not so bad.
Yeah, she's not a murderer.
Yeah, she's just down to party.
That's my kind of people, to be honest.
The next one, Hans Trapp. In Alsace and Lorraine, France, Hans Trapp is a Christmas boogeyman that parents invoke to encourage good behavior among their offspring. This legend originates in the 15th century when Hans Trapp was a rich and greedy man who was said to worship Satan. When the Catholic Church learned what Hans was up to, they excommunicated him, and his neighbors in Alsace ostracized the man they had once feared.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Grinch.
Yeah. Eventually, his wealth was confiscated, and Hans fled to the forest, penniless. Living alone on a mountain and angry at the loss of his fortune, he descended into madness, and one day attacked a young boy who wandered near Hans's shack. He chopped the boy up and roasted him over a fire, but before he could take a bite, a bolt of lightning struck Hans, killing him instantly. Since that time, he serves as a warning to bad kids. Watch out, or Hans Trapp will eat you.
It was kind of like the Grinch for a second, and then took a dark turn.
Yeah, and then he immediately, that's crazy, like, God's like, dead!
Don't even get to, you don't even get to enjoy it.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone. All right, the next one, Belle Snickle. Belle Snickle is yet another companion of St. Nicholas, and like many of the others, he's not a very nice guy. He shows up in a dirty, ragged clothes made of skin and pelts, carrying a switch to beat misbehaving children, although he does keep sweets and gifts in his pocket for the kids who have been good all year. The tale of Belle Snickle originated in Germany's Rhineland area, but German settlers brought him to North America in the early 18th century, and there's still a popular tradition of the Belle Snickle in parts of Pennsylvania, New York State, and Maryland. Belle Snickle shows up in the weeks before Christmas to check out who's been naughty and who's been nice, and then reports back to St. Nicholas or Santa Claus, depending on which version of the legend you're reading. Also called Pernsnickel, Beltsnickel, or Kriskrinkle. This creepy character is another anti-Santa, and you do well to make sure you're good, so don't get hit with a switch.
It kind of reminds me of the elf on the shelf.
Yeah, it's very elfy, right? All right, my last one, the Yellow Katorin. Some people hate to get clothing for Christmas, but if you do get a pair of socks or a funky sweater as a gift, it could save you from the Yellow Katorin. Iceland's frightening Christmas cat will eat you if you don't finish your chores and get new clothing as a reward for your hard work. Those of you who are lazy will become cat food once the Yellow Katorin peers through your window. The giant cat is the companion of Grilla and the Yule Lads, so you know it's got an appetite for delicious naughty children. Danny Lewis of the Smithsonian Magazine writes, "Presumably the threat of being eaten by the Yellow Katorin is also meant to inspire generosity in children who don't have to fret about the Yule Cat, as giving clothes to the less fortunate would grant them protection from the monstrous feline. Regardless, if you work hard, you'll get clothes as a gift, keeping you safe from the Jólakötturinn. This approach appears to work. The people of Iceland put in a ton of overtime, and no one has been devoured by the giant cat lately.
Good to know.
Yeah. So I'm glad we kind of just maybe stick with Santa Claus, right?
Yeah, I'm down with that. I don't like any of those little sidekicks.
Santa Claus is kind of creepy anyway. Like, how does he get in your house, really?
Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit of dark Christmas history.
Ooh, let's hear it.
In the 1700s, carolers would sometimes break down doors and demand food and drinks from residents.
Oh, my God. Polidori, give me money.
Caroling used to be much more aggressive. Singing carols door to door may be an innocent holiday diversion today, but it was once a controversial and potentially dangerous practice. Historian Thomas Christensen recounted how the carolers, or waysailers, of the 17th century would arrive at homes unannounced and demand to be given the residents' finest food and drink. They would sometimes threaten violence and rape, destroy property, and sing songs with lyrics such as, "We've come here to claim our right, and if you don't open your door, we'll lay it flat upon the floor."
Oh my God.
One minister in the early 1700s rallied against the observance of Christmas, and especially the practice of caroling. He complained that caroling drove people to rioting, chambering, fornication, and wantonness. Although it's become a pretty ballet, the Nutcracker is a surprisingly creepy tale.
Oh, yeah.
The origin story involves violence and a doll kingdom. The Nutcracker ballet is based on the 1816 story, The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. In the original tale, a 7-year-old girl named Marie slices her arm open after being startled by a version of the toy Nutcracker coming to life.
Oh my God.
As she recuperates, her godfather tells her a tale of a man cursed with ugliness of a nutcracker by a heartless queen. When Marie eventually declares that she would love the nutcracker no matter what his appearance, she is whisked away into the doll kingdom to marry him. The two are wed within a year of meeting, and even though that would make Marie 8 years old at the time of her marriage.
Wow.
I'm confused. So was the nutcracker that came to life and scared her an actual man?
I think he was...
That looked like a nutcracker?
Yeah. It was kind of like Beauty and the Beast a little bit.
Man.
Except for this, like, she had to go to their world, like their doll world.
I wonder if she was a lot creepy. Bigger than everybody else.
Probably not. She probably shrank down like Alice in Wonderland.
Doll size?
Yeah. Fuck a doll world.
Christmas parties may have their origins in a wild pagan festival. Christmas hasn't always been celebrated on December 25th. The date of Jesus' birth was only officially decided more than 300 years ago, after his death, by Pope Julius I. Before that, Christ's birth was marked on at least 3 different dates: March 29th, January 6th, and sometimes in June. Conveniently, December 25th roughly coincides with the date of the Roman festival of Saturnalia and the winter solstice, according to the encyclopedia. This ancient festival involved unrestrained drinking and role reversal between slaves and their masters. Schools were closed, criminals were allowed to run rampant, and the wealthy were encouraged to give gifts to the poor in order to avoid robbery.
It's kind of like the Purge.
Yeah, that's super weird.
Wow.
Going down the chimney is actually tied to dozens of scary supernatural legends.
Ooh. That is a creepy thing. Like, what, out of all the ways for Santa to get in your house, going down the chimney always kind of weirded me out.
Well, whenever I was a kid, I just was really concerned about the fact that we did not have a fireplace.
I always thought about that too, right? Like, what about the kids that don't have a chimney? Yeah.
Did you have a fireplace? I guess.
Yeah, when we were kids, yeah, we did have a fireplace.
Yeah, we did not, and I was concerned.
Did you ever think about that? How's Santa getting there?
Yeah, I was like, do we leave the door unlocked? Does he crawl through the window? Because We don't have a chimney he can go down.
Yeah.
I don't know how old I was when the Santa Claus movie came out, but in that movie, on houses where he doesn't have a chimney, he goes down the pipes.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever.
That makes
and
sense.
And so I think at that point, that's what I started. I thought, oh, that's how he gets into the house.
Right on.
You know what I mean? Like, it makes sense now. So as it turns out, Santa isn't the only one who can creep into homes unnoticed via the chimney.
Oh, God.
There's countless European legends that tell both helpful and malicious supernatural creatures sneaking into homes through chimneys. Scottish and English legends tell of the brownie, which is a helpful household spirit that enters and exits the home at night through the chimney.
Ooh.
In the Middle Ages, witches were also thought to pass through their homes in the chimney.
Ooh.
And in Greece, goblins, called the Kalikantzeroi, were known to crawl into homes through the chimney and terrorize the family.
Oh, yeah.
Pennsylvania, in Pennsylvania in the 19th century, the Pelsnickel or Bellsnickel slipped down the chimney to reward good children with oranges and punish naughty ones with a whip. So, that's, I want a brownie.
Yeah.
To come down.
Bellsnickel? Yeah.
No.
Isn't it weird that they all kind of have like some type of whip or a switch?
Yeah.
We're just here to beat your kid's ass.
It's like.
Santa's giving them, yes, we're here to beat your ass. What the hell?
They're like, Santa's awesome, so what can we make his evil counterpart?
Yeah.
It probably carries a whip.
Well, like I said earlier, here in America, we unfortunately have the Elf on the Shelf, and that's actually one of the more creepy ones to me. I'm just saying. Can't we all disagree on that? Let's just all stop Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah, I am not here for the Elf on the Shelf, and I have been letting it be known that I think it's weird and creepy.
Yeah.
And it's like, so many people do it and think that it's weird.
Yeah, but they still do it, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Anybody listening to this, tell us, do you do Elf on the Shelf?
But also still think it's weird?
Yeah.
Because that's where I'm concerned.
Yeah, right.
Some people make their Elf on the Shelf do really, like,
bizarre things.
But yeah, like, yeah, really uneasy things.
Also, yeah, who is, if you see some of these Elf on the Shelf setups that people do, those are not cheap.
Exactly.
And they are creative.
Yeah, that's true.
They're really putting some creative energy in there.
I saw one that was baking a cake, and I was like,
the elf was making a cake? Was the oven on?
No, it was just him mixing stuff in a bowl and making a mess and everything.
And you're not
cracking everywhere.
So you're not supposed to touch the elf.
Yeah.
At all that
Or day. Look at him, I think.
I think you can maybe look at him, but you're not supposed to touch him. So that mom's just going to let the eggs and all that stuff just rot in her kitchen all day long while they can't touch the egg or the elf.
Mm, well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that she didn't think that out until afterwards and is like, shit, now I can't clean this up.
Yeah. Well, Maddie's got a couple of facts for us, don't you, Maddie?
Yeah. A Charlie Brown Christmas was actually intended to be a feature-length Coca-Cola commercial.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
So, like, I wonder if they, like, Coca-Cola approached them about doing it, and then...
I don't know. Coca-Cola's all about that marketing, though.
For real.
They came up with what Santa Claus looks like.
Yeah, the modern Santa.
The modern Santa, yeah, it's because of Coca-Cola.
Every time I think of Coca-Cola, I think of the big white polar bear.
Oh, the yeah, the Coca-Cola Christmas polar bears are, like, a Christmas staple, too.
Yeah.
Also, but we also, the other day, remember... We saw that Corona Christmas commercial.
Yeah,
you said it's not.
Christmas.
Yeah, you said it's not Christmas till you see that commercial. You know what I'm talking about?
No,
I know. It's like.
No, I haven't. And the Christmas tree lights up, but it's a palm tree.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it.
That's when you know it's Christmas.
My next fact is, milking cookies began as a Great Depression ritual in America to help teach children be thankful for what they have, and to show generosity.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's sweet,
cookies,
though.
Yeah.
I feel like we always leave milk and cookies.
Yeah.
We have, like, a special cake dedicated for them.
I know. I remember when I was a kid, the first time I woke up and I saw that Santa had eaten, like, some of the cookies, my mind was blown.
That trips
people out. I was like, he
actually
went to eat our cookies.
He trips people out. And if you didn't think about it, kids, I used to leave notes. I'd be like, if you were stopping by, sign this.
Yeah.
And it's like, it looks just like the Santa signature. And I was like, ain't no way.
Ain't no way.
One time I got a chalkboard for Christmas. Santa had left it for me and had written a note for me on the chalkboard. And I was blown away at how similar his and my mom's handwriting was.
Wow.
And I remember telling my mom, isn't it weird that you and Santa have such similar handwriting?
She just wanted to change the subject.
She was like, I think she was like.
That's really Irish Christmas. Anyway, what did you get?
She could have did that. How bizarre.
How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
Anyway, so last week on our Georgia Tan episode, you know, our verses, we talked about mirror legends.
Yeah.
So in response to that, we actually have a email written into us. It's actually your stepmom, Christy, telling us about her experience with the mirror legend.
Yeah, she has a creepy experience. Read it for us.
All right, so Christy wrote in that when she was a kid, maybe about 7, she was invited to a slumber party. The host had just built this large screen room on their property, and it was detached from the house. They were letting their 2 girls have a slumber party in it before they turned it into the workspace for their dad. It had electricity, but no plumbing. I only knew the 2 sisters and their cousin, who was also invited, along with 3 other girls I did not know. When it got dark out, one of the sisters suggested we play Bloody Mary. She said, "Don't judge her." Being a sheltered child, I had no clue what that was. I don't think that I was the only one either. So the sister tells us that her version of Bloody Mary is a girl named Mary being killed by her stepfather and chopped to pieces with a shovel. And if we sat in front of the mirror, closed our eyes, and said Bloody Mary 3 times, that she would appear. Now my young mind pictured a bloody girl, pieced back together like a puzzle. If anything, that's what I expected to see, not what happened. We were all crowded in front of one of those light rectangular vanity mirrors, lighted rectangular vanity mirror, and there was a red-headed girl sitting front and center. We were all bunched in close behind so we could see the mirror, and all the lights were out except for the vanity mirror. We closed our eyes and chanted 3 times, Bloody Mary. And when I opened my eyes, I looked in the mirror and saw a jagged crack down the center of the mirror.
Oh, wow.
One side of the mirror was half the redheaded girl's face, and on the other side, it was a very pissed-off, ugly black-haired girl's face. Her hair was kind of stringy, greasy, and stuck to her head, and almost slicked back, kind of. The redhead's hair was fluffy and fell neatly beneath her shoulder. The redhead's half-face looked normal and somewhat bored. The other girl's half-face had her teeth bared and her pale skin with dark spots around there.
She was like growling.
I remember being terrified and confused and started looking around. I started looking around at everyone else frantically, and I was trying to crab walk backwards to get away from the mirror. The other girls were looking at me like I had sprouted a third eye. I'm yelling at them, "Don't you see her? She's angry. Don't you see her? Move." I'm crawling all over the other girls to escape, and no one else sees anything. Someone turned on the lights, and the mirror was fine. It took me a long while and a lot of peer pressuring to tell the others what I saw. I refused to sleep in the screen room, and the other girl's cousin and I stayed in the house. Over the years, I've heard varied versions of Bloody Mary. I've read up on them and others' experiences, and I have yet to see any that had a mirror crack, and seen 2 different versions of a face form a hole. I've tried it again a few times with no other odd events. I don't think it was Bloody Mary, if there is such an entity, but I saw something that day, and we clearly pissed her off.
Wow, that's so fucking creepy.
Like I said before, but I've never been brave enough to do anything like that.
Yeah.
Have you, Maddie, ever done anything like that?
I remember doing it at my poppy's workplace in the bathroom, and I was too scared.
Really?
Yeah, just
you didn't
out.
Look.
You just walked out?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like
I got
did.
To Bloody Mary 3 times.
Yeah, I kind of vaguely remember doing that at a slumber party once when I was a kid, but I am pretty positive I did not stick around to see if anything happened.
Yeah, I always chickened out and always never did. I'd do it like twice. I'd say it twice, but never the third time. But yeah, I'm good. No, never mind.
Never mind.
Changed my mind.
You like probably really psyched yourself up to get those 2 times too, though.
Yeah, right. Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary. Oh, yeah, time to go.
All right. Oh, was that my dad? All right, so Christy also sent in a such a good kids say the damnedest things.
All right, so I'm going to get into that now.
So she said, another disturbing occurrence happened to Jacob's best friend, Cameron. So this is your brother's best friend.
Yeah. My brother, Jacob, his best friend, Cameron.
He was staying over one night, and he was in our living room, sitting on the couch by the door, playing fetch with Bones. He could see a little bit down the hallway, and he felt like somebody was watching him. So he looked down towards the hallway, and he said he saw Becca peering around the wall. This is Becca's your little sister.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm telling you that. Like, you don't know. I'm just trying to clarify. So, Becca, he thought he saw Becca peering around the wall, staring at him. He really didn't think too much about it, though, because, you know, they grew up together, and he just figured she was messing around with him like they always do. He started to throw the dog toy closer and closer to her. Bones didn't react to her at all. He said he noticed her eyes were black, and she backed up and disappeared behind the wall. Thinking that she was messing with him, he got down on all fours and crawled to the back of the house. He saw her sitting at the foot of our bed.
Okay.
He asked her what she was doing, and she told him that she had been sitting there, and she didn't do anything of the sort. He told her what happened, and they came and told us, and we were all freaked out.
Wow, yeah, really.
For real, like, that's so creepy.
Yeah, kids say the damnedest things.
They really do, but...
It seems like he also experienced that, too. That's really
Yeah, nice. I believe it. That's pretty creepy.
That's like a doppelganger.
That Yeah, exactly. That's what she said.
So that's pretty creepy that he saw that.
It really is. It's pretty terrible.
Makes my skin crawl.
Yeah. Also, thank you, Christy, for writing into us.
Yeah,
like,
for
that
sure.
was such a good story.
Yeah, both of them were really good, for sure.
All right, so...
So now we're going to play a little bit of horror trivia.
Yes.
Maddie and Kristen are going to try to stump me. And whichever one can stump me the most is going to be the final girl, the survivor of horror trivia.
Yes. Do you want to go first, Maddie?
I will. My first question for you is, what actress plays Elizabeth in the 1980 movie The Fog?
Man, what's her name? Jamie Lee Curtis.
Mm-hmm. That's the answer.
Good job.
Yeah. I've never heard of that movie, The Fog.
What 1986 horror movie features cameos from Ozzy Osbourne and Gene Simmons?
Trick or Treat.
Correct.
Where is the 2008 movie The Strangers entirely set?
Oh, like what state?
Like what, like where this movie set was based around. Like where were they in? The setting, basically.
Oh, they were like in a lake house.
Mm-hmm. It's like in a house.
A lake house? Like mm-hmm. a house? Okay.
All right. If you don't get this one right. This HBO TV series was based on the novels by Charlaine Harris, featuring a telepathic waitress by the name Suki Stackhouse.
Is that True Blood?
Yes.
What movie features an alien hunter hiding in the jungle using trees and camouflage?
Predator.
Mm-hmm. Good at this.
3 for 3. What is the 2005 Eli Roth film set in Slovakia featuring the sadistic tortures of the elite hunters?
Hostel.
Yes.
You're good at this. We haven't stumped you yet.
Yeah, neither one of you stumped me. Do you want to do one more each?
Yeah, let's keep going for it, I guess.
All right, so neither one of you stumped me, so one more sudden death round.
All right, so what? Let's do one more question each?
Yep.
All right.
This 2014 movie involves a widowed mother who becomes worried when her son asks her to read a scary pop-up children's storybook. What movie is that based off of?
Sounds like The Babadook.
That is. I remember watching that.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy.
There was so much hype of how scary that movie was that I just never watched it.
Immediately chickened you out?
Yeah. So, what Jennifer Love Hewitt-led horror movie revolves around the group of teens that hit a mysterious stranger with their car?
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
God dang it, that's right.
I win, you're both dead. Yes.
So, what is that, 8? You got 8 questions right.
Yeah, I'm the champion.
That's pretty good, babe. Yeah. It's impressive.
Yeah.
Half of these movies I haven't even heard of.
I feel pretty good at horror trivia.
Yeah, so far I haven't been able to stump you yet, but we will keep trying.
I think we're going to make this a new segment with horror trivia.
Yes.
Tell us if you like it. Send us suggestions. Do you think you can beat me?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah.
Can you stump me?
Also, because of you, I'm not too bad at this myself.
Yeah, you've definitely
however,
a lot of horror knowledge.
I was disappointed that I didn't know Ozzy and Gene were in Trick or Treat. I did not realize that.
Yeah, that movie came out like the 1980s. That's a pretty old movie, yeah.
All right. Well,
That was fun. I enjoyed it. Thanks for listening to our Xmas special.
For sure. I hope everybody has a super awesome holiday and that the rest of 2020 goes so smooth for you.
Yep, and Happy New Year and Merry Christmas. And
we're going to catch you guys in 2021.
We're definitely sending good vibes for 2021 next year.
Oh, yes, for sure. All the positive vibes.
For sure. 2020 is going to be our year, right?
2021.
Oh, yeah, duh.
2020 was nobody's year.
Yeah, nobody's year.
Honestly.
Yeah, 2021 is going to be our year, right?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Thanks for listening to us this year. We can't wait to come back with, I guess, season two, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we'll be back in January. Be sure to look at Hippie Hayes Studio on Etsy.
Yes, check out those last-minute Christmas gifts.
And we'll see you next year.
Yes, peace out.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Stay haunted.